Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalmi Erev and Daf Ayin, and we are starting Samach Tes Amud Beis on the bottom with Halacha Yud Gimel, and Vilnsur's daf is on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Maris Merim Tzar Bas Yaakov Moshe. Her neshama should have an aliyah. So the Mishnah says, Kain Shalak Betzbay, a Kain that got a little wound on his finger. Kain Chalav Gemi Mikdash in the base of Mikdash. In order to be able to do Avoda, he could tie a Gemi, which is like a thin reed string on it. That's not proper for him to do Avoda with an open wound. And since this is Tzar Chavoda, and it's a Shvos, it's permitted in the base of Mikdash. Avoloi Medina, but he can't do Zemdina. However, im lahitzi dam, if the reason why he was tying the gemi is to draw blood out, so that's not letzayr chavoida, kan v'kan aser, over here and there, meaning even in the base of Mikdash, it's aser. Another din, bazkin melech agabe kevesh b'shil shal yachlik, in the base of Mikdash, they're allowed to sprinkle salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach during the winter months so that the kohanim don't slip. In the Medina, this is aser because you're mevatel the salt to the ground, and therefore it's like binyan, it's like building, but in the base of Mikdash, it's permitted, it's letzayr chavoida, and it's only a shvot. And one last din, umamalan mibar hagoyla begalgal b'shabes and mibar hagadol, and umibar haker b'yamtef. On Shabbos, in the Beis HaMikdash, they're allowed to fill up water from Bar HaGoyla and Bar HaGadol. These were the names of two wells. And Dafka, they're filling up by way of this Galgal, which is like a pulley system. Galgal literally means a wheel, but it's a pulley system. And the Chiddush over here is, because even though it's Mashmiya Koyl, it's making noise, and Hashmas Koyl on Shabbos is Usur, that's only a Drabanan, and we know there's no problem with Drabanan's Beis HaMikdash. And this Be'er Haker B'Yamtif refers to a well by that name. One's allowed to fill up water from it with this Galgal, with this pulley system on Yamtif, and that's even though it's not in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to see more about this in the Gemara. Just a quick explanation of the name Haker. It comes from the word Mekar. This Be'er, this well, is a source of Mayim Chayim, and that's why it's called Be'er Haker. Now the Gemara Ayin Malaf on top tells us, Yudab Rabbi Amar, he says, Loi Shanu Ela Gemi. This is only taught that the Kohen's allowed to wrap a Gemi around his finger. Aval Bin Giyoin, but with this thing, which is like a small belt of sorts, Asur is Asur, Mnei Yitur Begadim, because it's too many Begadim. Sovereign Meimar, the thought to say, the Yitur Begadim Kechisur Begadim, the Yitur and Chisur Begadim are the same thing. We know that a regular Kohen has to do a Avoda with four Begadim, and there's a lav he's not allowed to wear less than that, and we're saying the Yitur Begadim, wearing too many Begadim, is the same thing as Chisur Begadim, wearing too few Begadim, and putting this little belt on his finger, even though it's for a bandage, it's still a problem, because that's considered like a baged, due to the fact that it's a belt. However, Yaakov Bar Acha says, B'shem Rav Yasa, Reb Chanina, this really is like Reb Chanina, the Amr Chanina, Reb Chanina says, that actually there's no problem putting on this bingia in this small belt, as long as it's not chatzitza between him and a baged, v'loy bein baged l'baged, or not between one baged and another. This little belt is actually mutter to put on, according to Reb Chanina, but only on his finger, not on the skin, for example, of his arm, not because it's too many begadim, because it's a chatzitza between his skin and Bigdei Kuhuna, or it's a chatzitza between one Begad Kuhuna and the other. Now, for the clarification, Al Tat Reb Chanina, Korn Reb Chanina, Ezu Yitur Begadim, what would he say the Isser of Yitur Begadim is? The answer is, Shtei Ketanois, Shtei Mitznafais, Shtei Mechasayim, Shnei Avnetim. If he has double of the actual Bigdei Kuhuna, if he puts on two tunics, two hats, two pants, or two belts, that would be considered Yitur Begadim, but putting something on his finger, which is called a belt, is not Yitur Begadim. Another clarification, Kain Shalaka Batsbai, Kain that hurt his finger, Vakarchala Avnit, and he wrapped an actual Avnit, an actual Begad Kahuna, which is the Avnit, which is the belt, that's what he wrapped around his finger. The question is, Kol Shem Avnit Possel, anything that's called an Avnit is Possel, and since he's using an Avnit and he's wrapping around his finger, it's Possel, because that's Yitur Begadim, Oi, Ein Possel El Malbush, or maybe the only thing that Possel is for Yitur Begadim is wearing it as a real Malbush, meaning putting two belts around his waist, but not a belt on his finger as a bandage. And we don't have an answer to that question. And on to another thing, the Gemara tells us, Tani we have a brisa, malim b'diyavit, one is allowed to fill up with a diyavit on Shabbos. This is translated as a siphon. That's where you take a pipe with two ends, put one end in a barrel of wine, for example. The other end goes into an empty barrel situated a little bit lower, and then you just suck lightly on the empty end of the pipe. That pulls the wine through the pipe, and then as it starts flowing down into the barrel below, it just continues that flow on its own, and that's permitted on Shabbos. The reason why I bring this is either because of Hashmas Koil, maybe since it makes noise, you think it's usher, the chiddush is that it's not. A different reason why it's mutter is because this is not considered of the chayl, the regular way we do it during the week. The brisa continues, umaytifin ba'arak l'chayla b'shabbos, it's a proper girsa, we could drip using an arak for a sick person on Shabbos. This is an interesting type of kli. Imagine taking the bottom half of an hourglass that's just made out of metal, so you have the bottom which is very wide, the top is very narrow. On the bottom of this metal kli, you make a whole bunch of little holes, then you fill it up with water, and in order to prevent the water from flowing out, you put your finger or some sort of plug on the top. Based off principles of science, the water now is not going to drip out of the holes in the bottom because it doesn't have any air to draw from. Then when they were ready to use this device of theirs, they would take a metal plate, put it underneath the holes, then they would take out the plug or their finger, whatever's stopping the water from coming out. Then the water drips out little by little onto the metal plate, being like a ping ping pong sound that makes noise for the sick person. And one's allowed to use this on Shabbos. Now we clarify these two things in the Braisa. It's learned in the Braisa. Malam b'diyavit. What's a diyavit? Mishtamiha. It's a siphon, like we just explained. What about this next day in Matifin Ba'arak? We're allowed to do this drip of drip thing with this arak device we just described. So why are we doing it for this chayla? Istbay meimar ira. Some say we're doing it to wake him up. We don't want to touch the sick person to wake him up because we're afraid we're going to frighten him, and therefore we're going to make some noise in his ear, and that's what we're using this arak for. Now we learn from here the following. That means that this sound produced by this contraption is not the most pleasant, because that's the way we're waking him up, with an unpleasant sound. But still, it's only mutter for a sick person and not a healthy person, which must mean that Hashma's koil, even if it's not koil shir, it's not a pleasant sound, is usur, meaning any sort of noise making is usur, even though it's not pleasant. Our different understanding is istabai meimar kuknisa, that this arak device is being used to put a sick person to sleep. That must mean that it's a very pleasant sound, this little drip drop, kind of like an olden day sound machine. And according to this, the only type of Hashma's koil which is usur is Hashma's koil shir, a pleasant sound. But if it's an unpleasant sound, then Hashma's koil is not usur. Now going to another din, chatzar shir adu bagashamim. There's a chatzar, a courtyard that it's raining into, and the floor is getting all muddy and gross. Vahayaba base avel or base mishta, and there's either a base avel or a base mishta. The bottom line is that there's a lot of people here eating a suda, and the Baal Bayis doesn't want anyone getting all dirty and muddy. Hareza noital es hateven umirade, that's a proper girsa. He could take straw and sprinkle it on the floor to prevent people from getting dirty. As long as he doesn't do this on Shabbos like he does during the week. During the week, he takes a basket and sprinkles it like normal. Here, he can't do that. He has to take either a broken basket or flip the basket upside down and use the underside of the basket. But as long as he does it with a shinui, he's allowed to sprinkle the straw on the ground. And this is not like our case of the Mishnah of sprinkling salt on the Mizbeach, which we had said is usur outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's because salt, he's mevatel to the ground. So that's like binyan. But straw, he's not mevatel, even though he puts it on the ground. He's going to use it for either his animals or cement production, and therefore it's permitted. We continue, Tanu, we have a braisa, ein memalin ba'adasha b'Shabbos. One is not allowed to use an adasha, which is basically this pulley system, this wheel to fill up water with on Shabbos. However, im kachas al chevel oil mashicha matir. If he's worried about the rope or the pulley, meaning he's afraid that if he just draws water like regular a million times to get the amount of water that he needs, he's going to end up breaking or ruining the rope, then it is mutter to use the pulley system, which enables him to draw much more water at one time. And now explain the last part of the Mishnah, malin bar agoyla b'galgo b'Shabbos mi'bar gadol, and mi'bar haker b'yomtif. So now we focus on this last one. The Gemara asks, why is a person allowed to use this galgal, this wheel, this pulley system on Yom Tif to fill it from this bar haker if we said that it's Hashma's koil, so technically it should be usur? And the answer is because of the story. When the Yidden came up from Golas at the beginning of building the second base of Mikdash, they encamped by that Be'er. This is a Be'er called Be'er Haker, and they didn't have enough water. There simply wasn't enough Be'eris, enough wells to supply everyone with water, and they found one that was able to give them. And the Nevi'im, namely Chag Zechariah Malachi, who were with them, made it tonight, Shu'oman bar haker b'galgal b'Yom Tif, that they're allowed to fill up from this well on Yom Tif because they needed it. But it's important to note that loikal be'er's haker itiru, it's not any be'er haker that's permitted, meaning any well that has its own water source of Mayim Chaim that's permitted to use, ela oisa be'er shechanu alei bovad, it's only that one that they encamped by. And now the Gemara borrows a phrase from the second parak, heich ma'da ata omar tamon, masha hoter hoter, v'koi masha hoter hoter, just like we said over there, that whatever they permitted, they permitted. Over here as well, whatever they permitted, they permitted. Over there is talking about something called pasi be'rois, which we had discussed extensively, was a heter to enable oily regalim to fill up water for their animals on Shabbos or Yontif in the Rosh Hashanah. And over there we had said that even though the original reason for that takana of allowing this is not relevant anymore, masha hoter hoter, whatever they permitted, and it's still mutter. So too over here, even though the original reason for the takana of allowing to use this bear haker on Yontif is not relevant because we have tons of other wells and we don't need to use this one, whatever was permitted then is still permitted now. Now to the last halacha, the Masechta Halacha Yodal. The Mishnah says, sheretz shenim to a mikdash, a dead sheretz, which is found in the base of mikdash on Shabbos. What do they do? So a kain mitzayin bem yanoi, a kain takes out with his belt, with his avnet, and that's because sheloi lishus a tumah, in order not to have tumah stay in the base of mikdash. As we're going to see in the Gemara, it's better for him to metame his belt just to get that tumah out of the base of mikdash as quick as possible. That's Reuven Breika's opinion. Now you shouldn't fear that he's becoming tumah, that's because he's not touching the sheretz, he's just grabbing it with his belt, and his belt is not tumah enough to metame him, so we have no issues. It's just the belt becoming tumah, not the kain. I know, based on top, where's Rabbi Yudah says, Bitzvas shel eitz, he doesn't use his belt, he looks for a piece of wood that he could push it out with, shaloi laharbis is a tumah, so as not to increase tumah. If he uses his belt, he's making more things tame, and wouldn't want to do that, so it's better to wait a little bit longer in order to find the piece of wood in order to get rid of this dead sheretz. And we ask Me'echon Maitzin, I say, where is it that we're going to take it out from, and we're not just going to leave it there? So it's either Menahechel Menahulam, Umibeinu Ulam Vlam Yizbeach, then Rav Shem Menanas, Rav Shem Menanas holds that we take it out of the Hechel. The Hechel is also called the Kodesh, this is the room right before the Kodesh Kedashim, that's where the Menorah, Shulchan, and Mizbeach Hazav are, so we're going to take it out of the Hechel. The Ulam is a small antechamber right before that, and between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, in the Azara, the space that's in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, that's also a very high level of Kedusha, so all three places is where we're going to take this out from on Shabbos. but from all the other Azaris and the Shachas, we're not going to take it out because that's not as high level of Kedusha. Whereas Rabbi Kiva argues that no, Makam Shechemen al Zayna Karis al Shigasa Chatos, any place in the base of Mikdash, that if a person goes there in a state of Tuma, Bemezid, he's going to be Chayav Karis, or Beshagig, he's going to be Chayav Chatos, so Misham Etzino Isai, from that place, we're going to take out this dead Sharetz, and that's even the regular Azaris, Ushar Kal Makaimais, but all other Makaimais, whether according to Shimonah's opinion or Rabbi Kiva's opinion, Kaifan al Psachter, then we just overturn a Psachter, which is a copper pot, and then we wait till Matzah Shabbos to take it out. Rabbi Shimon says as follows, and this has nothing to do with this Mishnah, it's actually referring to the first din in the previous Mishnah where the Tanakama allowed a Kayan to tie a soft reed around his finger that has a wound. Rav Shimon argues that he's not allowed to tie a knot like regular, rather he has to make a bow. That's because knotting is an Isser Dairai, so making a bow is Dirabanan, and even though we're allowing Kayan to put on some sort of bandage, we only allow Isser Dirabanan, but not Isser Dairai. Now Rav Shimon's explaining himself to the Tanakama, don't be surprised that I'm Machmir here and Makel over there. What's there? So earlier in the Masechta, we had a Machlekes Rav Shimon Tanakama about a guy who was going along the way, stopped because it was Shabbos, and then Shabbos morning, woke up and found himself one Amma outside the Tchum. The Tanakama was Machmir that he can't go any further, whereas Rav Shimon said, no problem, walk right into the city, he's like a resident. And so Rav Shimon's explaining himself, over there on Makel. Now we pick up with the words of the Mishnah, Makam Shetir L'cha Chachamim, Mishal Cha Nasnu L'cha. The place that Chum allowed you to go, they're giving you your spot that really belongs to you. As Rav Shimon explained over there, the reason why the guy's allowed to walk into the Tchum is because even though the Tchum marker is one Amma away from him, so it looks like he's outside the Tchum, actually in truth, he's really within the Tchum because the people who measure the Tchum, the land surveyors, they're usually off by about 15 Amos. So when he finds himself one Amma away from the Tchum marker, he's really 14 Amos within the Tchum. That's what he means by Mishal Chanos Nulcha. They're really giving you a spot that's yours, so he's actually inside the Tchum of the city. However, in this case, over here in the previous Mishnah, Shalai Tiru Lucha al Mishum Shvos, the Chum only permitted you to tie this bandage on your finger, Mr. Kain, because of a Shvos, namely that we Matar Yisuri Darabon in the base of Mikdash. Therefore, it's only Mutter to tie it in a bow and not in a knot. Nothing more addresses the first case of the Mishnah, Sharetz Shinim to Mikdash V'chulu. We have this Machloikas. What do we do if a dead Sharetz is found in the base of Mikdash on Shabbos? So Amar Lei Rabbi Yechon Breika told Rabbi Yehuda, Leinim Seisa Masha B'toma, doesn't it turn out that according to your suggestion that we should look for a piece of wood to try to get the Sharetz out with, that you're being Masha B'toma, you're allowing Toma unnecessarily to remain in the base of Mikdash? We don't want that to happen, and it's better just to get it out as quickly as possible. That's why I say that a Kohen should take one of his belts. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yehuda responded to him, Leinim Seisa Masha B'toma, according to you, that we should use a belt. Aren't you increasing Toma? Isn't it enough that we already have a dead Sharetz in the base of Mikdash? Now you want to say to take a belt which is completely Tahar and take it out with that belt? You're increasing Toma. Isn't a better way to find a stick of wood that's not going to become Tame, even if it means waiting a little bit longer and having Toma stay there? And Amalei, he told him why it's better to wait a little bit longer as opposed to being with Tame something to be a Dayim, because Mutav Lavar al Mitzvah Loisa say Shaloi Bas Liyadai, Mitzvah Loisa say Shabas Lafanov. It's better to be over on a Mitzvah Loisa say that didn't come to you than a Mitzvah Loisa say that did come to you. Meaning it's better to be over by way of Shev Va'al Tase, sit and don't do anything and just let the Toma stay there, as opposed to doing a Kum Ase, getting up and actively being Metame something biyodayim. That's why it's better to wait, at least in that way you're not actively being Metame something. Now Omer B'Yisra Rabboni tells us Ase Ilin Plugta Ki Ilin Plugta. This Machlekes that we have in our Mishnah is like the following Machlekes. The Tanin Tamon, we have a Mishnah over there. Ketzam Refreshin Chal B'Tom B'Yomtev. How does a person take off Chala successfully from a dough which is Tame on Yomtev? We know that it's Mutter to bake on Yomtev because Eichel Nefesh, and this is specifically referring to Pesach, where a person's making matzah on Yom Tif. Nowadays, no one really has a minute to do that, besides for Taimanim back in Taiman, but really it's permitted. You're allowed to make matzah on Yom Tif. So this guy made his dough, and it's still within the 18 minutes, and then all of a sudden the dough becomes Tameh. How is he supposed to separate challah? What's the issue? So if he just lets it sit, it's going to become chametz, but he can't bake it because it's Eino Roi Lachila. You can't eat the challah because it's Tameh, and so this type of baking isn't mutter on Yom Tif. And he also can't separate the challah and just burn it because Ein Sarfin Kachim B'Yom Tif. So what does he do? And over here we have Machlekes. Rabbi Lezer says, Loi Tekru L'Hashem Ad Shetiyah. He shouldn't call it its name until he bakes it, which means he makes a bunch of matzahs, sticks it in the oven, and only once it's in the oven, he looks at one of the matzahs and he says, that matzah is truma. And then he just lets it stay in the oven and get burnt to a crisp completely. Whereas Ben Baseira says, no, tata letzainin, he should separate the challah, put this piece of dough in cold water, and that's going to prevent it from becoming chametz, and then matzah yamtif, he's going to burn it, and it's still not going to be chametz yet. Now, while Rabbi Shua told Rabbi Lezer, Lenim Seisak serve kachem yamtif, doesn't it turn out that he's burning kachem on Yontif, when he puts the matzah in the oven and then he says, okay, that matzah is kachim, then he lets it burn, and that's called burning kachim on Yontif. So Rabbi Lezer told him, Melenei Nisrafin, they're burning on their own. He's not taking something which is already kadosh and putting it in the oven to burn. It's in the oven already, and then he's saying, oh, that one's kadosh. So it's really burning on its own. And now it's Rishua's turn to ask Ben Baseira a question. Let him say, so Ivar al-Bayir al-Bayir matzah, that's proper girsa. Doesn't it turn out that the guy might be Ivar al-Bayir al-Bayir matzah? You say that the guy should separate chalo from his tamedo and put it it in cold water to prevent it from becoming chametz. But maybe he's not going to be careful with it. He's not going to make sure that the water always stays cold, and then it will become chametz, and then he's going to be over on Bayir Abayi Matzeh. So Amalei B'Mesirah told Yeshua, Motiv Lavra, Mitzvah Loisa say, Shaloi Bas Liyadcha, Mitzvah Loisa say, Shabasl Fanecha. It's better to be over on Mitzvah Loisa say, that's Loi Bas Liyadcha. It's a Sheva Al Taseh. You're not actively doing anything than a Mitzvah Loisa say that you're actively doing. Therefore, it's better just to leave the dough, and you're right, if it becomes chametz, that's a problem, but at least that's a Sheva Al Taseh. You're not actively doing anything, as opposed to taking this dough and actively putting it in the oven to burn it, which is like a real action of doing an iser, so it's better not to do like that. So we see the same machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan Breika, whether or not it's better to have an iser happen, but just in a way of sheva al taisa, that you're sitting and not doing anything active, or it's better to do it with an action. And one more example of this, Tamantanu, that we learned in Mishnah, Maseches Vachim, the following is going to be talking about matanos of dam, sprinklings of blood on the Mizbeach, and there's two different categories, matana achas and arba. Matana achas means it just needs one sprinkling. That's, for example, Bechar and Meiser Behema, and there's something that require four matanos, which really is two on two corners, but it splashes onto four walls. That's what it's called for, and that's, for example, Oila and Shlomim. So Mesha tells us, those that need one sprinkling, they got mixed up with other ones that need one sprinkling. Just sprinkle all this blood together on the Mizbeach, because it all requires just one matana. And by the same token, Matan Arba. If something needs four, that gets mixed up with other blood that needs four, so just sprinkle four, because they all need the same. But what about Matan Arba, Matan Achas? Something that needs four gets mixed up with blood that only needs one. What's done? So Rabbi Lezer Aimer, he says, Yinosnu Matan Arba, we do four. Whereas Rabbi Shua Aimer, he says, Yinosnu Matan Achas, we do one. So Rabbi Lezer told him, doesn't it turn out that you're being over on Baltigra, which is don't subtract? Some of the blood here needs four, and you're only doing one. So Amalei Rabbi Shua responded to him, doesn't it turn out that according to you, you're being over on Baltosef? There's blood here that only requires one, and you're doing four. That's adding on. That's a problem. And Ayin Alpha Amud Aleph, Rabbi Shua defended himself by saying, it's better for it to be over on a mitzvah loisa say that didn't come to me, meaning by doing a sheval tase, as opposed to actively doing something wrong. Therefore, it's better to do matan achas, and it's a sheval tase. I'm just simply not doing the four sprinklings and the other one needs, as opposed to actively doing four sprinklings, and it's actively getting up and being over doing too many sprinklings for the blood that only needs one. So we have the same conversation. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with the last daf of the Masechta. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.